Just a heads up, I can see that you've got this whole show scripted out, so
no, we don't.
You might want to get back on point.
I am a radio icon.
Let me
see. And by the way, so are you.
Hi, I'm Max, and hi, I'm Mike. Here's the Oddcast.
You are a pussy.
Everybody's dodging us.
Everybody's dodging us. Why is that?
There's no reason to talk to us.
Because most of what you say is gibberish, that's why.
Ladies and gentlemen, Max Tolkoff.
Are we rolling?
Can we go back to talking about jocks and concentrate
yes.
on
okay.
the show?
Okay, so you're basically saying that the jocks today are super lazy.
Yes, and I'd like to, can we destroy the robot rotation music machine? Can we go back to the card box?
Yes.
I want to go back
yeah,
to the card box because
let me
it's
tell you
easier
something.
To control. And by the way, here's my rationale for the card box. If you train your jocks properly, right, they've got the sequence sheet and the card box, they won't cheat. And you can keep them from cheating, and you give them some choice, right? And they can figure out all those segues. It gives them something to do so they concentrate on the show.
Correct. And I'll agree with you 100%. But I'll tell you, there is a service that you're not aware of, because obviously when Trip Reeb came in and forced the card box into the den of stupidity,
right?
They were using just Selector back in those days. So Trip basically took the whole card box, dumped it on a Selector,
yeah,
hit schedule, hit print, and it was done. So there was no editing done. Like, the jocks would do the editing to make the show flow. So when that happened, a few years, I'm guessing about 4 or 5 years later, there was another company that came up with, I think it was called DJ Select.
Yes, yes. It was very much like that. Yeah,
right,
on the screen, you get a bunch of songs in a category, and you can pick.
You can pick, which made the jocks 10 times more interesting. Because they could actually manipulate their show, but the whole thing about dig, all those terms that you had on
dig rules,
and all that
categories,
stuff.
Categories, yeah.
So you would eventually force the guy into playing that Blondie song he didn't want to play,
right?
Because it would not come up anymore.
I maintain that this is kind of, and Fred Jacobs was on that set it up with us, but you know everybody had it, but it can be a self-policing system if everybody plays fair. Because you're right, the card for Blondie, whatever it is going to be there, and it's going to keep people are going to pass over. But eventually, somebody has to select it because the PD is still looking at the whole thing, and then can see who's not playing and who is playing.
Right.
But it's a more it's a flexible system. You know, it gives people some ability to. I don't know. I like it better than maybe I'm just an old man because that's how I grew up.
No,
I understand the.
It's not that you're an old man. Old man, it is the fact that boomer. This is what it comes down to.
Okay, boomer. I'm not a boomer, by the way.
Listen, I know you're not a boomer. I'm just saying you're a boomer.
Can we say okay, Xer? Okay, Jenner.
But you're not an Xer.
We need a response for that.
Can I finish? The thing about it is, you trust, as you pointed out, that you hire a jock that is going to know what they're doing.
Right.
Not about playing fair.
No, it is about playing fair. Because you're going to leave this person, right? I have this problem with the overnight guy at FNX.
His name? Troy?
No. But
Nick Carter.
Shout
out to Nick Carter. I'm going to tag him as well. Nick Carter, J.J. Johnson. Who else are we tagging?
J.J. Jackson?
J.J. Johnson.
Who's J.J. Johnson?
Jim Johnson. He works in Detroit still.
Because J.J. Jackson came
from... He's a massive Trump reporter.
KLOS.
Massive Trump purporter.
Purporter.
He's a Trump...
He's a Trumpkin.
He's a Trump-tard, as I like to call them sometimes.
He's a Trumpkin.
He's a Trumpkin, but... He's fucking hilarious because I give him shit all the time.
All right.
And he gives me shit back all the time. But I have massive respect for him because you know why?
So
this is something that you will never do. He will post videos online of him doing newscasts from back in the late 70s, early 80s, where he's got like super tight jeans on. And it's like nobody wants to see that. Nobody.
So the overall question. Can we go back?
Yes.
You say
I think
that we can go back or we can't go back?
I think we should. No, you should because you have to trust your jocks. You have to train the jocks of how to make it flow
right
in the right way.
Yeah.
DJ Select would probably be the best way to do that.
Because the old axiom used to be you can either work the card box yourself or the card box will work you. Which is fine.
Right.
Some people would go, all right, I'm
do
just
going to
take the first out of each category and do their show that way.
Do you remember the numbers that 91 Rex used to generate on the quote-unquote trust the jock box system?
Yeah. Huge.
Give me an idea.
What do you mean? Like, what were the ratings during that whole period?
Yeah, yeah. We were from 83 till whatever it was.
We signed on 2 weeks into the winter book, it still pulled a 6-1.
Right.
12 plus.
Okay.
Only to be beaten by KGB. They were just ahead of us. They were number one. We were number two.
Okay.
And then over the next few years, we kind of went up and down, mainly staying in the upper fives. We'd hit a whole series of sixes for a while.
So a six share in those days would be like getting a...
Like getting a million share today.
Right. Right. Pretty big. Much.
Yeah.
Pretty big. And
very
that was
big.
Basically you trusting the jocks to get done.
Yeah.
Do you remember any standout jocks, perhaps in the evening, that actually got 11 shares back in those days?
No, most of the jocks were pretty mediocre. Starting with Steve West.
You don't remember there was a jock that you reluctantly hired to replace Pam Wolf, who came in and used to piss you off?
The guy that came in and 3 weeks later pulled a stunt, and I almost fired him, except it was pretty fucking funny. I told him, I said, I almost fired you.
You did. You almost fired me.
It was so funny, I couldn't. It was brilliant, but you broke format. Oh, I'm sorry. This guy broke format.
So this guy that broke format, the guy you're referring to, this was back in the days where the guy who was the program director at the station.
Right, and there were no cell phones. So in order to hotline somebody, I had to go find a phone booth.
And with a Mexican credit card, call the number and basically
in Tijuana,
to basically
go, what the fuck?
Right. So what do you remember? You're driving around in your Thunderbird? What were you driving around in?
No, I was driving around in my 74 Chrysler Newport. Because that's the appropriate car to drive around in TJ, since you can't really...
Yeah, but you weren't in TJ. You were driving up here someplace.
Yes, I was on somewhere.
So what happened that day? Because I distinctly remember it, because I thought to myself, I remember to myself, that guy just got to San Diego,
yes.
And he's going to get fired in his first 3 weeks.
Right, because he tried to turn the evening show into a morning show. He was doing bits.
What was the bit that pissed you off at that time?
Well, the one that I heard that I had to find a phone and hotline the guy was he put a DJ on from another radio station. Like, he was on the air and he patched this guy in from another radio station who was also on the air.
Right.
And asked
him to
play.
Do you remember the station?
Was it XHRM?
It was, 92.5, XHRM,
Tati. And they were kind of like
an urban station, which you have to, at that time, nobody in the urban world was playing anything closely resembling hip-hop.
And what did you want this guy to play? I forgot. You put him on the air for a reason, because you were asking for a request. Was it Beastie Boys?
It was the Beastie Boys.
I'm sorry, the guy.
The guy asked for the, basically what I did was, I'll talk about myself in the third person. Basically what Halloran did was, as Max is driving around San Diego, I somehow got the number of the station that was on the next mountain over from us, across the valley where Robin, that's how I got the number. Robin had it. So he's on the mountain ridge over there. Robin,
she's fired.
Robin knew the number to call the station there.
Fucking fired.
And I don't remember who the guy was on the air. Can't remember.
Chemo?
No, it wasn't Chemo. Don't think it was Chemo, but right. I called him up, and I did it live because we didn't have any way of taping things.
Right.
So he picks up the phone. I go, hey, it's Halloran over at 91X. What's your name?
Did you tell him he was on the air?
I did. I said, we're on the air now. Is that okay? He says, yeah, great. What's going on over there? I said, hey, we're playing this new track from this band called The Beastie Boys. I said, have you heard of them? And he's like, no, I haven't. I said, you guys should really check them out. They're really unbelievably good. And then I said to him, I said, I'm going to play him right after this break. I'm going to go into break and come back and I'm going to play the Beastie Boys. And I said, do me a favor, tell your listeners I said hello. And he said, okay. And I hung up the phone, went into the break. So I'm teasing into this thing. You told me at that point you were pissed, but you turned over to 92.5 to hear him break a couple seconds later. And what did he say?
I don't remember. Tell me, because I don't remember what happened.
He said he got on the air and he did a break and he goes, hey, I just talked to Halloran over at 91X. He said to say hello to everybody. And then he probably went into his break. Then I came out of the break. And at that point, you'd called and screamed, I almost fired you, except what?
Did I say except? It was one of the funniest things I've heard.
Because the guy actually said hello.
Yes. He said
to all of his listeners on the other station.
Yeah, he gave us some credit.
Which you would have fired him for.
Right.
But I'm already putting him on the air and saying I'm promoting his station by basically basically asking him why he's not playing the Beastie Boys. I used to do that to Riff, by the way.
The brilliance of that whole thing, which I don't even know if you recognize, it was such a mind fuck of a bit. Because it really was kind of funny in all these different directions. You're not supposed to put him on the air. You put this guy in there, and then he's talking about you.
I got permission, though. I got permission.
And he's, you're talking about him.
Speaking of Riff, I did that to Riff. Mark Pazman. Shout out to Mark Pazman. Mark Pazman once got really, okay. Do you remember the Tom Snyder show?
Yes.
Okay. Tom Snyder used to be on whatever, super late, 1 o'clock in the morning. I used to tape Radios in Motion on DET when they turn the transmitter off at like 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'm in the control room. I'm watching Tom Snyder do his thing. U2 comes on, does their performance. I go start rolling the tape, and I'm recording my show, which is going to run. So this is like Thursday night, I think, and it's going to run Friday about 1 o'clock in the afternoon till 3. The beginning of my show, I'm announcing that I'm going to play U2 in a couple seconds, and in the background, I'm ringing this phone line. And I'm calling, at this point, it's probably 1:30 in the morning. I'm taping this, so it's running at 1:30 in the afternoon. But I'm taping this to call the guy who runs the what's called the Riff Rock Cafe, which is a show that Fred started where all the weird stuff was.
Wait, this is Detroit?
Yeah, and, right. Yeah, it's Detroit in 80, 79, whatever it was, first
right.
album.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling Carl Coffey, shout out to Carl Coffey, who is basically sitting there getting his show prepped, and he's putting all of his things together because it's almost 2 o'clock in the morning. He's about to take over. I'm hoping he's going to pick up the phone. And nobody picks up the phone. But it's ringing for about 5 or 6 minutes while I'm explaining, hey, I'm calling Riff right now because U2 just did this amazing thing, and I want to find out if they're going to play this amazing band called U2 because they're just on Tom Snyder, blah, 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 one of the favorite bands of Radios in Motion, blah, 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 blah. The guy never picks up. So I go into a song, hang up. As it runs almost 12 hours later on the air, I'm at my real job working in the shipping department of Producers Color Service. The phone rings. My show has started on the air on DET. It's the tape from 12 hours ago. It starts. I am talking. The phone's ringing in the background. I'm telling people that I'm calling Riff. And Mark Pazman calls me up and goes, I hope he doesn't pick up. And I go, what are you talking about? He's the jock. I go, right. What are you talking about, Mark? He goes, that's illegal. You can't call radio stations and put them on the air.
See?
And I said to him, I go, so wait a minute. You're listening to my show? And he goes, we always listen to your show. Fred is pissed.
Uh-huh.
Like if the DJ, because nobody knew what time I was taping this. It could have been any one of the jocks. They,
right.
I think at one point, they must have run in the control room and said, don't answer. Don't answer.
Like, right. They thought you were alive.
They thought I was alive. So they never picked up, but here's my favorite part. I said, because he said something like, you know, we will sue. And I go, I don't think he would do that because that would make me a little bit more, I don't want to say popular, but I would be in the vocabulary at that point.
Yes, so you're getting exposure.
I would get
which
exposure.
Which is what he doesn't want,
exactly.
But you would be getting exposure. Why was it illegal? I forgot.
Because unless you announce, like if the guy went, he's got to agree, right? I go, it's Michael Halloran. I am taping a live broadcast. Is that okay? If he says, yes, it is, I have his permission.
All right.
But when you call a radio station, he has express permission to tape whatever it is if you're calling him because you're calling a radio station. But you cannot call it to broadcast it on your station. So when the guy from 92.5 picked up here in San Diego for me to talk about, I said, I'm live on the air. Is that okay?
Right. I remember that.
And he said, yes. He said it was okay, whatever his name was. Chemo, whatever his name was.
Right.
I asked permission. I was going to ask permission from the guy from Riff, but he never picked up.
Hang on.
I got unplugged. Did you just unplug your headphones?
I did.
Right now, hiss, moan, Fred Jacobs is tuning out. Shout out to Fred Jacobs.
No, he doesn't listen. I guarantee you that none of these people who claim to be up with the new technology... The interwebs.
As his headphones fall apart.
Exactly. Nobody wants to talk. Nobody is. Everybody's afraid of us on this podcast. Nobody wants to talk to us.
I find
nobody
that,
comments.
I don't think anybody's afraid of us. I just don't think anybody's listening.
I think they listen, but we're too, like, crazy for these people. They don't want to talk about the kind of podcast that we do.
What?
Yeah.
You just lost me.
I lost myself. What I'm saying is, no, but look, we're kind of like, we've deconstructed the whole kind of radio thing. It's all opposite whatever people would normally do, which is not what the people in radio want to hear. They want to hear a show that's like a radio show. They want intros and segments and, you know, scripts and all that kind of stuff. We don't.
Isn't that what you wanted at the beginning?
I did, we have
to have segments.
I did. And I still do. But right now, I don't care. Do you care? I do want a segment called.
All I want to know is.
I want a segment
in all seriousness.
I want to do a segment called.
I need to get this through.
All right, fine.
I need to get this through. When. That was the first time, and obviously we were playing Fight for Your Right to Party at that point, which is, I don't know what, I could look up the date that that came out. But I do remember asking you, because it was probably People's Choice when we first played it, right?
I don't remember.
Okay. When we first started playing it.
Have you noticed that there's a, you know, as I look back on the last 7 months of this, 8 months, have you noticed how many times you ask me, do you remember, and I go, no.
I'm trying to jog your memory.
Why is that? I remember the big things, but I remember a lot of little things.
Well, when you get yelled at by your program director, you tend to remember certain things.
Right.
But you don't
remember that.
You don't remember why you're yelling at me.
I did, because it was something that we
didn't
do.
I just told you.
What?
You said, oh, was it the Beastie Boys? That's what you said. Because at that point, nobody knew how big the Beastie Boys
were
going to
become. Did you play the Beastie Boys? Did you break format to play that song?
No.
It was a people's choice.
We put it in a rotation.
All right.
So, God, he fucking
what?
You're seriously going to chastise me for something that happened 30 fucking years ago?
I still am. That's never stopped.
So here's my question.
Yes.
When you hired DJs, like obviously you brought Steve West in, you brought Oz in.
Yeah.
You brought Steve West in totally by accident.
Yes, he walked in because he was working up in San Clemente. And at that time, the weird thing was, first of all, I was the music director. Jalera was the program director. Rick Carroll was our consultant, and they had Richard Blade on up at K-Rock, right?
So you were going, anybody with a foreskin has to work.
Exactly. It was like
Did you not know that Steve was circumcised because he's Jewish?
He's not Jewish. You're out of your mind. He's not Jewish.
He's a member of the tribe.
He's not. He's a member of the British tribe. So we were discussing the fact that we need an English guy on the air because we were emulating K-Rock at the time, right? We were playing all their songs and everything. So it was like, and I think Rick Carroll even suggested you should find a British guy, put him on. And then Steve West walked into the lobby of 91X like 3 days later, just trying to apply for a job. Had no idea what we were looking for.
How long had you been on the air as the alternative station?
I don't know, maybe 10 months or something.
Okay. Who was on the air prior to Steve? Who was doing the morning show when you first flipped?
It was Sue Delaney. Yeah.
Middays?
I don't know. She was doing, we moved her to mornings or something. She might have been middays. I forget exactly.
Who was doing mornings when the station flipped?
I don't remember. Isn't it on?
We need Kalagian.
Yeah. He'll remember. Why don't we get him on here?
We should.
Call him.
You know what we should do?
What?
Yeah. You know what?
Call him now.
This is the Jed the Fish thing, by the way.
Or, you know what, maybe we should get all these people. First of all, I'm sick and tired of talking about the old days, but you keep bringing it up.
No, it's not about me.
The people that listen to this podcast do not live in San Diego. Not everybody does. Nobody cares. I don't think Garrett's heard the podcast once.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
Because we keep, like, making fun of him, and he never says anything about it. I've said a number of times.
Meatball.
He's fucked up the station.
Meatball.
He's not going to answer. He's very, very high right now. That's what I'm guessing. He's sitting out by the ocean, smoking a gigantic.
That's
thing.
That's hilarious.
You're just going to let it ring?
Oh, I'm calling his work number. So, I'm joking.
Hello, unfortunately, staying away from the phone. So please, by all means, do leave a message.
He's really.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Ira number 5, call me back. We are taping our podcast with Max Tolkoff, and he can't remember anything about the old days of 91X, so I'm calling the genius who smokes a shit ton of weed. Okay.
Who else do we know that would know all those things? We should get them all. We should get them all in here and remind us of...
Blairita Brown.
Yeah.
You Yeah, let's get this guy. No, we're not going to get him.
I got great Steve West stories.
Do you want to tell? Should we just basically end this program at this very moment, and then just do part two next week and talk about Steve West?
Yeah, it's good. I don't know. Does he care if we talk about this whole episode? Do you think he would care?
Which episode are you going to talk about?
The one.
Which one?
The one where he got stuck in Tijuana live there for 2 years.
Do you want to get him to refute it or talk about it?
No, I just want. I hope he's not mad. I want to talk about it. It's such a great, hilarious story from
let
then.
Let me ask him.
All right, you're going to call him now?
I'll call him. He's going to say the same thing. He's going to go, meatball.
This is all Michael does all day. We talk about
people.
Somebody, and
it's
then he
my
just
job.
Then he just calls the person we're talking to.
It's,
you need
well,
a separate.
You know why?
You need
a like,
separate.
I have a phone.
You have a
phone.
Separate drive just for phone numbers. Well, if you ever lose that phone, you're fucked.
I know. Meatball. Meatball.
If he says no, then I can't talk about it.
Meatball. Okay, Steve. Real quickly, we are taping our podcast, and we're calling you. Can you hear me? Okay.
Apparently, you're breaking up.
Okay.
No, you've got a TV on in the background at top volume.
It's
turn
me.
It off.
It's Max and Halloran. Are you someplace we can turn the TV down?
I'll turn the TV down. What's up?
We're taping our podcast. We're talking about the old days in Mexico. We thought we would call you, first of all, to invite you to come in for an episode one. Number two, who was doing mornings on 91X before you arrived?
It was Sue Delaney and Russ.
Sue Delaney and Rusty Nails.
Yeah.
And then
she left in the May, and then Russ and I did it together.
Okay, so you started doing mornings at first.
No.
Yeah, no, I was on at 9 o'clock at night first.
So Max fucked you on that deal. So he wants to know, he's here, he can hear you.
What do you mean he fucked me on that deal?
Because you should have been the star player. He put you on at 9 o'clock at night. What a fucking dick move. So do you want to come in and do an episode with us?
Yeah, but I'm in Ramona. It'll have to be like on a weekend when I'm down there.
Well, we were not expecting to come down right now.
No, I would love it if he was close by, he'd come in.
Ask him if we could talk about the thing.
Okay, he wants to know, can he talk about your first day in Mexico when you crossed the border?
Of course he can.
Okay, so we'll talk about that, and then we're going to have you recap it in the next few weeks.
By the way, it wasn't Max's decision back then, it was Jimmy.
Right.
What, to bring you across the border?
No, he put me on at night.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't the PD yet. It was Jim.
PD till the following year.
Okay, perfect. All right, so we're going to schedule you.
Right, Max?
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so listen.
In 84, you became PD, right?
Right.
Yeah.
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 What is your favorite song from 1984, Steve West?
Oh, God, Sex Crime.
Sex Crime.
Yeah. Eurythmics.
Eurythmics, Sex Crime. Interesting.
Hey, Steve.
Well, I that's just off the top of my head.
I don't know if you can hear me.
If you would have said 1985, I would have said Running Up That Hill.
Hey, Steve. It's Max.
Yeah.
Do you remember the argument we had when you insisted that Lamb Lies Down on Broadway was a song?
No, we'll save that for the real podcast. Don't fucking
No, I just
that.
Want to know if he remembers that argument.
Of course he does.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Okay. Steve, can I say two things before we hang up? I love you. Seriously, I do.
I love you too.
And we want you to come on this. We want you to come on this podcast because I think you will add a lot of depth to things that Max never understood about why Genesis was one of the best bands on the planet. Because of course he did play things like. Sledgehammer a million times, right?
We were five tracks deep on No Jacket Required.
Oh,
God's sake.
Well, in that case, we'll have to. And you were the MD at that time, right?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, so we blame you for Phil Collins.
That was one of my biggest mistakes.
All right,
no,
remember what I said about it? We love you. We're taking that back for
Stevie Nicks.
Yeah. Oh, God. Fuck. Yes, he wanted us to play. He wanted us to play Stevie Nicks.
No, he said, "Can we play the song called Sit on My Face, Stevie Nicks?" That's the one he wanted to play, right?
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Hang up on him. I can't.
All right, we're going. I love you. I love you.
I toyed with the idea that we maybe ought to be playing Stand Back, but it didn't work out.
Oh, the disco Stevie Nicks.
The disco Stevie Nicks, yeah. Yes. But the disco Frida from ABBA, remember? Something's going on?
Yeah. All right.
I know there's something going on. Man, there was some great music back then, dude. There was some fucking awesome music.
You just said fuck on a podcast. Oh, my fucking God. Why the fuck did you fuck my fucking podcast up, you fucking... All right. We're hanging up now. We love you.
I love you, too.
Bye.
He's had like 15 joints. He's been
that
smoking.
Was an automatron version of him. Do you notice that he still has his English accent?
Yeah,
he's been here for fucking 40 years and he still can't lose it.
No, I know. You never. Otherwise,
the chicks won't talk to him if he doesn't have
it. So, do you want to talk about the event? Can we tease it?
I think you should talk about it, and then we should hopefully schedule him to come in. We're gonna have to talk to William the Corkerer and find out if he's up for a. What is that? He's up for a
three-way?
He's up for.
With us and Steve
West.
He's
up for a weekend session.
Oh, William,
it sounds to me like Steve is living in Ramona now.
Yeah. You don't want to do a weekend, do you?
We'll work it out. We'll call.
All right.
We're not going to put him on the phone. Fuck that shit. He's got to come in here, that English fucker.
So
tell the story.
Just briefly. The big story, though, was that we hired him. Jim Gelero brings him down the next day.
No.
Yeah.
Apparently, you actually hired him before he went into Mexico.
Yes. Yes, we did. We hired
him. I heard the story from you a million times that he went down to check out the station.
He had not
signed the paperwork.
Yeah, he was in. And Jim...
Did Steve West know he was in?
Yes. Jim Gelero brought him down so that he could show him the studio where he was going to go on the air the next day. That was going to be his first shift.
I see.
So I'm on the air. It's rush hour. It's 5 o'clock. I'm doing a show. Jim comes in with Steve West. Hi,
the
how
young,
you doing?
Handsome.
Yes.
Ginger Buck.
The Ginger Buck. And he takes a look at the studio, you know, because, and I think we've talked about this 1,000 times, unless you know exactly the direction to get to the air studio up there, you're going to get lost in Mexico and be murdered. But
Whoa. Seriously? Seriously, take that back.
I do. I take it back. But
what would happen if you got lost? What would really happen if you got lost?
You'd wind up in some dodgy neighborhoods because the whole
you would
area
wind up
around...
eating great tacos the street.
It was the best
for a buck.
6 years of my life. One brief
it's
story.
It's not dodgy.
It is dodgy. But
it's
who cares?
Dodgy feeling. It's not really dodgy.
It's not.
How many DJs at 91X lost their lives in Mexico?
None that I know of.
None.
I almost did.
How many DJs at any of the Mexican stations lost their lives? None.
One time, Billy Bones was coming up to do a shift, and I said to him, can you bring something? I'm starving. I hadn't eaten.
Yeah.
He stops on Revolution Boulevard at one of those, you know.
Taco places.
It was hot dogs.
Yeah.
From a cart.
Yeah.
Right? So he comes up and he hands me a bag, and there are these, like, sad-looking hot dogs with the strangest condiments I have ever seen, not one of which was mustard.
I'm getting hungry as we speak.
It's kind of like mayonnaise and some stuff.
Right.
And he throws this at me, and I'm going, these are street hot dogs from Tijuana. If I eat these,
How long did you work down there?
6 years.
6 years.
Yeah.
It's Tijuana, not Tijuana. You're not Stan Ridgway. I wish I was in Tijuana. So the Tijuana.
So Steve.
Dogos, they arrive.
Is brought down. Steve West is brought down by Jim Gelero to check out the place.
Did you eat the hot
day.
Dogs?
I did. Okay. I did. And I survived.
Yeah. Okay.
So now I love street hot dogs in Tijuana.
We're going down right after the broadcast.
Right.
So you meet Steve West. He comes in the studio.
Yes.
What does he say? Ah, Thompson Twins.
I have to say this. He's a little bit like a deer in the headlights because the experience of going across the border to another country to do your air shift.
You mean an English guy going to the United States of America to another country and then going to another country to do a broadcast
exactly.
is different.
Yeah.
How?
He was like, his eyes were bugging out of his head.
Yep.
Here's the studio. Here are the scorpions and the tarantulas.
You were playing
fighting.
The scorpions back then? What a fucking
no, no, actual scorpions in a box.
Oh.
And
real
tarantulas.
Scorpions.
Yeah, real scorpions.
The tarantulas.
And tarantulas because they came out onto the concrete apron when the sun went down. It was still warm. So they'd walk around outside the air studio. And then the operators, the local Mexican operators that had to be there, they would capture the bugs, put them in a box, and let them fight it out. We'd have a lot of that. So anyway, so Steve comes in with Jim.
So yeah, the cockfights, the dog fights.
And the insect fights.
And the insect fights.
So, you know, we chat for a little bit, and then Jim goes, okay, we're going back across. Just wanted to show Steve how to get down here. You know, what he's going to do tomorrow. And I say, goodbye, nice meeting you. I'll see you tomorrow. And Jim's like, goodbye, see you later. An hour later, they're back. And they both look.
Did they bring hot dogs?
No. And they're both freaked out. Because they get to the border, and in one of the crossings, you know, one of the booths where they go, what citizen are you country of? And then you just sort of say what you say, U.S., U.S., and they let you go. That's how quick it normally is.
Right.
Unless they they go.
This is before you know, 9/11.
Yeah. Before Enrique Camarena, Camarena that got murdered down there,
right.
The DEA guy, which then caused the border to be closed for like 3 days. It was a horrible mess down there. Anyway, so Steve and Jim go back across the border. They're going back to the office in San Diego.
1983.
Yeah. They get to the border, and the guy leans out the booth, and, you know, normal day, and he goes, hey, what citizen are you country of, guys? And Jim, who's driving, says U.S. Steve, who doesn't know any better, goes, U.K. And so the guy at the border goes, oh, can I see your visa, please? You know, and Steve pulls out his wallet, which is this, like, you know, disgusting, gigantic ball of old receipts and everything else.
We can't edit that out. So let's change that to it was a well-organized leather pouch full of wonderful things, including
candy,
including pay stubs.
Yeah, including pay stubs. So Steve is getting his visa out, hands it to the guy. The guy says, he points to his wallet. What's that? And Steve goes, oh, that's my pay stub from the radio station up in San Clemente I'm working at. And the guy goes, oh, really? Could I see your green card, please? And Steve, of course, had no green card. So the
did
guy
he have,
goes.
Did he have a gringo?
No. He was, I don't know what gringo, English gringo is. So the guy goes, you don't have a green card? Steve goes, no. So the guy takes his passport or his visa, and he stamps denied on it, decline, whatever, no good, you're not getting in. And Jim, of course, who's a U.S. citizen, is now, he's screwed because he can't bring Steve across. So they have no place to go. So they come back up to the studio. I'm still on the air. And I'm like, what happened to you guys? And they tell me the story. Steve is now trapped in Mexico. He cannot get back across the border.
Let me do a quick,
and,
this,
but wait,
is, this is the TMZ recap.
Hang on. Wait, before you do that. Now, Steve's situation is he just moved down from San Clemente. All he had was his car full of crap. He didn't even have a place to live in San Diego yet. And now he can't get back to his shit.
How would you hired him?
What do you mean?
I mean, if he had all his stuff, wasn't he living and working in San Clemente?
Yeah, but he wasn't down in San Diego yet. So,
and my point is, so where's his car? At the station?
Yeah.
At the U.S. office?
Yeah.
But doesn't he have a job to go back to in San Clemente?
I don't remember that. We can ask him next time.
All right. So here's the quick TMZ recap. Tall, lanky English guy, super skinny, red-haired, moves to the United States, works illegally in 1983 in San Clemente, thinking nobody will ever find out. Here's this new station playing Thompson Twins and Thomas Dolby and things that he can pronounce correctly. And he says, I'm going to go down there and apply for the job, not realizing he has to cross a international border and then come back every day. So when he goes across, he blows it in the first day, even before he's done the first air shift. He gets transported back to the station in Mexico. He lands in your lap, and what happens?
Didn't we just cover all that?
No, I just did a recap. What happens when he came back to the station?
William?
Did you go get hot dogs?
On and on. We're going
did you
to
go get hot dogs?
On and on. No.
Did you get hot dogs in TJ?
No.
Then why the fuck is this? Why is this important?
God, it's like you're Jim Jordan at the impeachment hearing. You know, that crazy guy from Ohio never wears a jacket. He just does that. He just questions
I have
people.
Can I just show you the picture of Jim Jordan that I have?
Yeah.
I would like you to tell me what happened at that point.
At that point, Steve has to get himself an apartment, and he gets an apartment down by the Bullring by the sea. And he has to live in this apartment and not able to go back to the United States at all for like the next year and a half.
So he's living in the place that he works at. Isn't that great?
That's so weird.
That's
him. You know, when you look at this too, you know that he knows that there's bad sexual stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly.
He knew that.
We'll post
that. Jim Jordan knew that shit.
That's why his nickname is GYM Jordan. Okay, so Steve is then, his car is in the U.S. Who brings his car down to him?
Well, here's what happens. And this is where my wife comes in, Tammy.
Before she was your wife?
Yeah, before she was my wife, she was Steve West's girlfriend.
So she brings his car down? And he,
at some point, what happened is that Tammy, a couple of times, has to sneak Steve across the border.
Right.
She smuggles him back into the States.
In the trunk.
In the trunk.
Come on.
Of her car.
In the trunk.
I think that happened once or twice, yeah.
God. We need Tammy on the show.
We do, to ask her. I forget the details, but yeah, she brought him across illegally a couple of times so he could get his stuff and then go back down, where all he did all day when he wasn't on the air was smoke pot and get a tan. He was like the first ginger from the UK that looked brown. I've never seen this before.
So
big,
he was
hairy,
pretty much,
brown guy.
He was pretty much an English Mexican.
Yes, pretty much. And it took a lot of years to figure out all the legal shit so he could back across the border. Eventually, it took him flying back to England from Mexico City.
From Tijuana.
He went Tijuana, Mexico City, then back to London to renew his visa and then fly back to Mexico again so he could then cross from there and then go back and forth.
Shout out to John Lynch for making all that happen.
Yes.
John Lynch, thank you very much.
He had to get an immigration lawyer in the 80s and pay him a lot of money to get Steve West back to the States.
So Steve West technically owes John Lynch for his life.
Probably.
As a pirate.
But, you know, he had great ratings. He made up for it. We'll talk about, if he's here next week, we can get all the details. Because I, as you know, I remember practically nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
How's your nose feel?
The same.
Same as when you walked in?
Yeah, I'm not getting my nose hairs pulled again with that freaking popsicle stick and the wax. That was crazy.
Trust me.
No, I did trust
you. You're
going
to miss it in like 6 weeks when it's all grown back and you're going.
Here's the thing. The hairs on your nose don't grow back enough to block the air. It's not like you're breathing through a nest made by a bird and it's like all.
Did you look at the, when she, I have a picture of it. You want to see the picture?
No, I don't actually.
Okay.
I don't want to see that.
It's fucking hilarious.
All right. We're done.
Can
talking.
I just say we have a big sponsor today?
Oh, yeah. It's a little late for that.
No, it's not late because we're going to put it at the beginning. The beginning of the podcast. It's going to be right at the beginning of the podcast. But we do have a sponsor. I'd like to thank my good friend, Stephen Jenkins, who is a guilty pleasure. I have to say this right now. It is amazing to me that Third Eye Blind, who, I don't want to say they came out of nowhere, but holy fucking moly, that album has basically stood the test of time. The first album, to the point where now he's getting almost kind of like this Pixies treatment. Like,
really?
Yeah. He's like, it's weird because nobody realized how good that album was until bands like Imagine Dragons and all these shitty bands came out and basically started making Stephen Jenkins. People would look back and go, God, those were great, super descriptive songs. You felt like you knew what was going on in your life because of that era and that record. And at first, I was like not impressed.
Yeah, I wasn't either. But now, look at the crowd. They sell out everywhere, first of all. Gigantic, huge
right.
venues and stuff. They might even, I might know something about where they're going to be next year. But the point is that you look at the people. I don't want to say kids. It's a lot of like, all right. You know, they're older now, but there's a lot of young kids, too. They're all mental. I mean, the band is very popular.
Right.
Hugely popular.
I know. People cry at the shows. They're singing along with those songs, and they're crying. Do you want to just, like, take us out by playing the new single, or how long's the single been out?
It's been out for a little bit, but, yeah, it's getting more airplay.
And do you remember the name of the song?
Scream.
Scream?
Yeah.
Okay, should we just let the song play us out?
If
this is
wish.
Our sponsor for this week.
All right.
Stephen Jenkins, by the way, not only is he the first sponsor of this radio show, but realizing that, you know, maybe a podcast is a good place to put your music, especially when you're talking to Lenny Diana.
We've got to figure
Trip
this thing
Reed,
out.
Trip Reed, Trip Reeb.
We've got to be able to get permission.
J.J. Johnson.
Right?
Tom DeLonge. Yes. Stephen Jenkins made that possible. Because guess what? He fucking controls his fucking publishing.
So we can play their music.
Yes.
It'll, Third Eye Blind will be the only music we'll be able to play on the podcast.
I'm fine with that. Did he? Does he own the stuff from the first album? Did he get that back?
Good question. We can ask Tammy.
All right. Let's find out.
All right.
But thanks for listening to the podcast this week. What is the name of the song again?
Screamer.
By? Who's it by?
Oh, I thought you said bye. Like, bye-bye. Bye. All right, bye.
Bye.
Third Eye Blind. Bye.
Slam the door.